Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these. What an extraordinary promise, an extraordinary claim. And how can Jesus promise us this? How can we do greater works than the Son of God himself, the one who truly is God? And yet I think, for one thing, we have been remade in the image of Christ. In the sacraments which come from the water and blood from his side, as he gives his life shortly after he gives these words to the apostles, then we have been remade in the image of Christ himself. And so the Father says to each of us after our baptism, "This is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." He looks at us and sees his Son. He sees his sons and daughters who bear the name of Christian truly bear the image of Christ himself. And yet, the question remains of, I don't see miracles springing forth from my hands, flowering at my feet, and I don't imagine many of you could say the same. And I think if we consider the lives of the apostles, it's actually rather clear how it is that they do greater works than Jesus himself. The greatest miracles are those transformation of hearts. And it may seem like a cop-out answer, but it's true that changing the depths of the human being, those depths that medical doctors or psychologists can't reach, that even I can't reach, to change the human being as only Jesus can, those are the greatest miracles. And those happen through the grace of the church, the grace of the truth and of our redemption that Jesus has won for us. But did Jesus transform hearts in his earthly life, I mean? He had many, many crowds following him. But remember where and when he says the words of the gospel today. It's at the Last Supper, as all of those crowds are about to turn against him, to crucify him. The people that he had worked miracles of healing for, the brothers, sisters, spouses of those who had been miraculously cured, that had demons driven out of them, that had heard the words of truth from the mouth of the Son of God himself, they were about to call for his crucifixion. And he was left with the 12. He transformed their hearts. Well, make that 11. And even then, he couldn't hold on to them until the end. There was only one. And his mother and Mary Magdalene, Mary of Cleopas, a few others that he had transformed their hearts already before his death to at least enable them to stay with him until the end. But all of that Jesus had done, all of his earthly work, was about to collapse. And so he makes this promise to the apostles. But even as he is reassuring the apostles, reassures Thomas that I am the way and the truth and the life, he would ask in the abandonment of Gethsemane for a different way, for the cup to pass from him. But he is the way, that he shows us the image of the Father. As he proclaims over and over again in this gospel, I and the Father are one. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And the Father accomplishes his work through his Son. The Son is the image of the Father. And so we are all called to image Christ as Christians, that the Father will live in us and do his work in us. The love of the Father, which is able to give freely, to truly give that selfless love, not with some stoic indifference, but with true love. We celebrated yesterday Saint Athanasius, and he defended the truth of the incarnation against the heresy of Arianism, which proclaimed that Jesus was neither God nor man, but something in between. Jesus is fully God, and yet God in himself could not risk anything other than perhaps his reputation, as the prophets Moses call upon God, for the sake of your name, save your people. But God in himself could not lose anything, even as there is analogously perhaps a certain risk in giving angels and human beings free will. But Jesus becomes fully man, who was fully God, so that he could give of his love in a human way, truly risk everything. And yet he does so as the image of a Father, that he does ask for something in return. He asks for everything in return, our whole lives. But he is big enough to be able to allow us to say no, to let it be a true invitation. And he invites us into his work, as good fathers do. He had sent out the 12 before his crucifixion, and not only the 12, but the 72. And so he sends us out that we may share in the Father's work. Our fathers teach us to work little by little. And so I spent many a Saturday morning, you know, working with my dad. And some of it was real work, finishing our basement or working with him, re-roofing houses at different summers. But some of it, you know, especially as a kid, it's just that classic stand here and watch me work and hand me a tool every once in a while. And maybe our sharing in God's work is much closer to the latter than the former. But God wants us to learn to take risks, that to share in his work, to commit to a job, to see it through. And so to be able to become fathers ourselves, or to be able to, that is, provide for ourselves and then for others in the abundance of his love, becoming images of Christ. But he's big enough to allow us, when our cowardice causes us, like the apostles, to fall, to fail to say what needs to be said, or to not finish the job set before us, Jesus is always there to welcome us back, to make us, to renew us in his love, that we may become ever more the image of the Father. And the apostles show this for us, that if you look at the crowds that left Jesus after the Last Supper, or the Bread of Life discourse, the crowds that would turn against him on Good Friday, what about the crowd at Pentecost that gathered around the apostles? It was a completely different thing, that through the apostles, they were cut to the heart. Through that grace that had been given by the death and resurrection, that the crowds, that those 3,000 that were baptized on Pentecost, they were truly transformed. They didn't leave. Some of them, no doubt, did leave, but the momentum had been changed with the apostles. And from those 12, then the story of the Acts of the Apostles is this unstoppable momentum of the growth of the kingdom of God, with these miracles and this preaching, the spreading of the good news, this building up of the kingdom to the Jews first and then the Gentiles and indeed the whole world. And so they indeed did greater works than Jesus himself. They changed lives for eternal life through the grace given by the Son. And so for all of us, we're called to share in God's work and to commit ourselves to that work. But perhaps if we fail like the apostles, then our good Father and Jesus himself, they allow us to try again, to learn again, to commit ourselves to the task, to take the risk that he asks us to take, whatever it may be, and to build up the kingdom, set our hand to the plow and not look to what is left behind. Jesus saw all of our failings, all of the ways that we have failed him in the past, that we will still in the future. And yet he says those words to the apostles, knowing all of that, for on their own part, that he proclaiming his love at the Last Supper. So may we share in the work of God. May we build up his kingdom, and you may risk and lose everything, but if you gain eternal life, then you will have all that you need, and you will see the miracles and the mountains that are moved.